My culture, you know, I'm half German, half Ghanaian. Once you become a father, you really become a man. And that's really what I felt like. My kids are my legacy. You know, that's the only thing that truly, truly matters.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Cigna. I had the great fortune of chatting with Dr. Stuart Lustig about the great work that he and Cigna are doing for the resilience campaign. As parents, we all know that resilience is arguably the most important skill that we could be teaching our children right now. It's the ability to quickly recover from challenges, and we've all been facing our challenges, and especially in 2020. Cigna conducted the largest study of resilience among children, their parents, young adults, and working adults. The Cigna Resilience Index showed that resilience is at risk for 60% of Americans surveyed, meaning that they may struggle to bounce back from challenges. This can have a real heavy impact on children. Make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net to check out my interview with Dr. Stuart Lustig, where we talk about fatherhood, of course, the great work that he's doing with Cigna. I highly encourage you guys to check this out. I learned a lot from Dr. Lustig, and I hope you guys do too. And also, make sure you go to their website for this program at cignaresilience.com. That's cignaresilience.com. What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast. And online, I'm very happy to have Boris Kodjo. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Boris. How you doing, sir?
Good, Art. How's it going?
Good, man. Looking forward to chatting with you, of course, about your hit show, Station 19. We're going to talk about acting and all that good stuff in a second. But, of course, this show being the Art of Fatherhood, I love talking to great dads just like you. When you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time, what was going through your mind, sir?
Wow. I mean, we had been anticipating this. We've been planning. We've been celebrating the arrival. So, you know, in my culture, you know, I'm half German, half Ghanaian. Once you become a father, you really become a man. And that's really what I felt like, the fact that my life took on this purpose. You know, my focus was going to be on raising this young human, and then later on, these two young humans. I was elated. I was absolutely excited and looking forward to it. To this day, I'm excited because I believe that my kids are my legacy. You know, that's the only thing that truly, truly matters.
No doubt, sir. I definitely agree with you. I got two daughters myself, and I feel that it's such a blessing to be their dad. And of course, everything that you've done with your career and just outside of your career, you know, paying it forward, you and your wife, there's a lot of values that someone from the outside looking in can see that you and your wife are looking to instill great values into your kids. Of course, being an actor, there's a lot of hard work, determination that goes into that. And then, of course, you and your wife, Nicole, who she is the founder of GymWrap, which is an awesome organization, and you guys donated over $500,000 in masks to frontline workers, which is awesome. Again, a great way to show your kids paying it forward. That's just a great lesson to teach your kids and a great value. First, talk about GymWrap and the stuff that, of course, your wife is doing, and then also too, talk about some of the other values you're looking to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
Starting with the values and principles that we try to teach our children, kindness, I think, is a quality that has been lost in the shuffle. And to me, kindness is a pillar of the foundation on which to raise the children, as well as empathy, compassion, basically having the consciousness of looking out for the next man or the next person and supporting people around you, creating synergies, collaborating, working together. I think we live in a pivotal moment in our history that has presented us with unprecedented challenges, not just because of the health pandemic, but or the economic pandemic. Also, the social justice and systemic racism pandemic that we are all too familiar with has sort of reared its ugly head. And so teaching our children kindness, compassion, empathy is very important at this very moment, because it speaks to the essence of working together in order to ensure that everybody enjoys some of the basic human rights and human needs that we have as a society and as a world. So I think it's a very important conversation to have with your children. I think it's a dialogue that needs to be had across the board. not just in Black families. We wanted to make sure that our children have the tools and the wherewithal and the information to be a part of the solution. And that's really what's behind that.
I love that. And I'll let you go into Jim Rapp in a second. But yeah, I think you're spot on. And, you know, there's a lot of things, like you said, that are going on right now with this year. You know, 2020 has been crazy. And you, as parents, you're like, what's happening to this world? What's happening? What's going on? And are we, you know, I think you and I want to leave this place better for our kids, right? And you look at some of the things that are going on and you're like, this is not the world I want my kids to grow up in or inherit from us, right? We don't own the world. We're just here for, you know, that moment of time that we're graced to be on this earth. But then, like, I agree. Like, my daughters and my wife and I are having these conversations where they'll be like, well, why is this happening to, like, shouldn't we treat everybody, you know, with kindness? And shouldn't we treat, you know, do the golden rule, Dad? And we're like, yeah. And so we talk about our feelings. I mean, if you want to look at a silver lining in 2020, it is having these conversations with your kids. It is using, you know, examples that they might see in the news and all that, and just talking to them and getting their take on that and saying, like, yeah, you know, we need to be kind to each other. We need to see where everybody else is coming from, because when you break it down, everybody deserves, like you said, those rights and the idea that everybody is a human and treat them with respect. So I really appreciate you and your wife instilling those values into your kids. And again, kind of like I mentioned earlier, Jim Rapp, the fact that you guys are taking the time to help the frontline workers, donating masks and other things. Talk a little bit about what inspired you guys to do that.
You know, all credit to my wife, Nicole, who owns the company, and she was able to pivot quickly, and she said, look, there's something we can do. We can manufacture these masks that are reusable, they're washable, and they will protect our frontliners and our essential workers. So with the help of the public, we created the Help Our Heroes initiatives that ensures that anyone who needs a mask and who's putting their life on the line for us can get one. So, you know, this was really a collective effort, and I really appreciate all of our fans and our supporters to jump in and buy these masks. We were able to give away, you know, over $500,000 worth of masks. And it's just another example of being able to do something even when you're a little bit far removed. We're not in the trenches. We're not at the front line. We're back here, you know, living a pretty regular life within this crazy, you know, hurricane of a pandemic. You know, there's so many people suffering, no jobs, no food, don't know how to feed their children. We've been so blessed that this was one of the things that we were able to do. So there was absolutely no hesitation, and we had to jump in and do something.
Love it. And for more information, people can go to thejimrapp.com, and that's WRAP. And of course, put up links here at The Art of Fatherhood so people can help check out the business and, like, also help out as well. Two more questions before we kind of start talking about Station 19 and acting, sir. There's a lot of things that we were talking earlier about teaching our kids and instructing them about life and all that. Let's kind of flip the script on it. What is something that your kids have taught you either about yourself or life that has kind of made you a better person?
Well, they teach me every day. You know, just by watching them and having conversations, I see how their minds work. And they've taught me patience. They've taught me a passion. They've taught me excitement all over again. They've taught me curiosity. They've taught me that, you know, every day is full of wonders and that you can learn from everyone. They also taught me to slow down and to cherish the moment. Because, you know, we're making memories every single second, and to cherish that process and to not rush to the next one. You know, we're in this industry where we're measured by the success that we have, and the success is laid out in front of us in different goalposts. And sometimes we put our head too low to achieve these goals and hustle and work and do and run and run and run. And before you know, 5 years has gone by and you haven't really lived, you know? Mm. So kids just improve the quality of life in general, but they really teach you little lessons every day.
I love that, Boris. Thanks for sharing that. And one last question is, for new dads listening to this, what is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them?
You know, I think in a nutshell, what I just said applies to that as well, because we're very much aware of the responsibilities and the pressure and the stress that comes with having children. We talk about unconditional love, and we experience unconditional fear as well. And I think the most important aspect is to be in the moment, to really take everything in and to really live every single moment and embrace them every single chance you get, because before you know, they're grown and they're out of your house. You won't get those moments back. So even though you're stressed, even though you have to discipline them and teach them and raise them right and teach them right from wrong, take a moment every day and just enjoy just sitting there and listen to them talk or tell a joke or a story and cook a meal and sit down and have a meal together. We cook every single night. Nice. We have family dinner every single night. We try not to pass each other by in the house. We try to make it a point of really getting together and finding out about each other's days and making sure that we connect. And I think if I were to tell them one thing, is really preserve those moments. And they'll take pictures, video, and collect video of your children or playing with your children, because they grow so fast, and it's always fun to go back and look at those moments.
No doubt. It's funny you say that, is every year, actually for every month that when they were first born, my two daughters, I do like a month video and send it off to my family and friends who didn't live near us. And then every year I would do like a long video, just like a year in rewind. Right. And so my wife and my daughters and I will sometimes, just instead of like a family movie night, we'll check out those family videos. So spot on, man. I love that. And now, we're talking a little bit about, of course, ABC's Station 19. I'm a comic geek, so anytime there's like a cool crossover, I always love like seeing that. Of course, you know, Station 19 came through from like Grey's Anatomy. Season 4 has got that cool crossover with Grey's Anatomy. Talk about this season, and I know you can't like talk about everything, because of course people want to be surprised, and it's I feel like everyone's like, especially on social media, is like trying to find out like what's going to happen and like almost do a spoiler thing. But just what, you know, for fans of the show, talk about this season and what you think fans will get to see this season, sir.
It's exciting. I mean, there was so much going on last season. So to sort of jump into the next, you know, into the premiere event that we're having with Grey's Anatomy together on the 12th, there's so many loose ends that need to be tied off. You know, my character's chronic pain syndrome that he's been dealing with, and his drug addiction, and his marriage to Andy that happened so fast after her father passed. Before her father passed. Sorry. So all those things are unfolding in front of this new world, the COVID world, because we made sure that we incorporate the elements of the real life that we're living right now, so people can relate to that and identify with it. Krista Vernoff, our showrunner, has been fearless in addressing these issues that we're dealing with in real life right now. And I think that's very important, because it creates a dialogue, a consistent, continuous dialogue that's important to have. And so our characters are dealing with their own personal issues while navigating this world that everybody now is so familiar with. So it gives us a lot of opportunity to tell a variation of diverse stories that are important to address right now, which is super exciting to me.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned that you guys are bringing the pandemic into this show, and especially for your character. And, you know, you have great writers, great producers, director, and all that. But like, on this show, do you guys, especially with 2020, and maybe, you know, you're not exactly like the character you play, of course, but like, do you guys as actors kind of work with the writers and the directors, being like, hey, this is like, do you guys talk about maybe some of the things that you guys are thinking about during this pandemic, and maybe kind of insert them to different characters that might fit that mold with, you know, with the storylines and all that? Like, how is like you guys' collaboration, besides just, you know, of course, you know, following the, you know, the script and all that stuff, do you guys kind of have a little collaboration talking about, yeah, it's good, you know, it's good in the writer's room, but hey, we're thinking maybe tweaking this a little bit here and there. Do you guys kind of have that, especially with 2020?
Yeah, it's a collaborative of effort is because we want to make sure that we're not only true to the depiction of these real life heroes that we portray, but also make it emotionally relevant for each actor. So because I try to bring my own personal experience into the character to make it more real. So it's important that you have that dialogue with the writers so they understand some of the resources that you have inside of you so they can take advantage of that. So it's a constant dialogue between not just the showrunner and the writers, but also the actors, and to make sure that we give each character as much layers and levels as possible to make it more interesting. Absolutely.
Nice. Two more questions before I hit you up with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Like I said earlier, I'm a big comic geek and all that stuff, and you've been in through so many different things, film, TV, music videos, and all that. And it's funny, too, like, growing up, like, I remember when I was kind of doing some research on you, saw, like, the TLC and all that stuff. I'm like, hey, man, I love TLC and all that other stuff. So you've been in, experienced a lot of different things. At what point did you know that you kind of wanted to become an actor? Was there a movie, show, or an actor kind of sparked your passion? Like, what's your origin story to finding your career path, sir?
You know, it's very different from everybody else, I suppose. I was a professional athlete growing up in Europe playing tennis and then getting a scholarship to come here. I went to acting class while I was living in New York to see if I could lose my accent, because I had a really strong German accent. I couldn't speak English that well. So my attempt to lose my accent or to just speak English better resulted in me going to acting class and then sort of catching the bug and wanting to hone my craft in that area. So it was never a childhood dream of mine, especially growing up in Germany. We don't have a true celebrity culture like here. People here are obsessed with celebrities. At home, you know, it's true. It's true. There's a whole celebrity sort of craziness here in the States, whereas at home people are less interested in that. They're more interested in sports and you know, education. And yeah, it was my attempt to speak English better that led me down this road. I'm grateful that I wanted to do that, because otherwise this would have never happened.
Hey, man, appreciate it. That's fantastic. Definitely very unique, and I like that. And last question for the Father Quick Five. For your kids, is there a role that's kind of gives you like the best dad street cred? And maybe there's not, because, you know, it's funny from the outside looking in, they might be like, oh, you know, my dad played this role or this or that. I remember talking to Jim Brewer and he's like, yeah, my kids don't care about like my fame and all that stuff. They're just like making sure that, you know, there's food's there and all that other stuff. So maybe they don't like have like a favorite thing, or maybe it's not maybe a role, but was there something that you gave that gave you some pretty dad cred or some dad clout because they got to experience something through your work?
You know, I get more credit for the people I work with, than my own thing. So they're excited when I work with cool people, cool actors.
Yeah,
they like the Ferdinand movie, the cartoon that I did a while back, where I played a German horse.
Yeah,
they thought that was funny. Other than that, they're really not too interested in what we're doing. You know, sometimes they ask us if we know a certain person.
Okay.
Because one of their friends is infatuated with another celebrity or something. So they try to do a favor by getting a shout out for them. So they use us. They use us for their own sort of, you know, they're really not interested at all. My daughter's in, you know, she's into art and dance and wants to be a lawyer, and my son is an athlete, and they both play the piano. And even on set, they don't like coming to set because it's too boring for them. So I think we've done a good job to sort of keep them away from the industry.
Nice, man. Thank you very much for sharing that. Now I got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie you guys like to watch together right now is what?
It's always been Jungle Book, the original. Nice. That's always been sort of our go-to as a family.
Very cool. And again, probably because they're a little bit older, that's not maybe a favorite family song, because everyone's kind of have got their own taste and all that. But was there, if you don't have a favorite family song right now that you guys are kind of vibing to, was there an artist or a band that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate the music?
You know, I've introduced them to everything from classical music, you know, they play the piano, to sort of rock standards, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Aerosmith, to everything from, obviously, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye. My kids have a very eclectic sound in their iPads. They have everything from Frank Sinatra to Ella Fitzgerald to Ray Charles, obviously Kendrick Lamar and The Baby, to classics like LL, Jay-Z, Biggie, and Nas. So they're very versatile, which I love.
Nice.
We never had a family song, but it kind of tickles me. I'm proud when I go by their rooms and I hear the music they listen to, because it's all very, very, very diverse. Bob Marley, my son, was rocking yesterday.
Nice.
My daughter was listening to some jazz, like she was listening to Coltrane.
Yeah.
So I love that. I mean, they're only 14 and 15, but they've already developed a keen sense of this musical diversity, which I love.
Nice.
I got to say, if there was one artist that always strikes everybody's like excitement, it would be Beyonce, of course.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Love it. But it's just a good, you know, sign of you and your wife just raising them right, just having them all like all forms of music, and that's cool. You know, they are into, you know, the musical instruments, especially the piano and all that. I love that. And again, 2020, crazy year. Not probably anybody going on vacation. But, like, describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be? Or have you guys maybe already had it?
That's sort of the luxury that we indulge in, is travel. Mm-hmm. Me coming from a different country and growing up, you know, traveling throughout Europe and Africa, I wanted to expose my kids to that early on. So ever since before they could walk, they've been to, you know, every single continent except Antarctica and Australia so far. We've taken them to Africa multiple times. They've been on safari. They've been to South America, Central America, the Caribbean, Europe, all over Europe, Asia, and obviously here. One trip that we did recently, because we were sort of limited to, you know, not being able to fly, was we took a road trip to the Grand Canyon, which was a lot of fun, which is awe-inspiring, just the power of Mother Nature in full display, and we really loved that. It was a great time. It was only 3 days, and we camped outside, and it was tremendous. I mean, you know, we love going to Thailand, we love going to different places, but this Grand Canyon trip was something that we'll never forget. It was really great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing that. Who would you love to work on your next project with?
Oh, wow, that's an insane question, because there's so many people I admire. You know, I'm inspired by so many. I mean, please, there's so many people I want to work with. So I can't really name one person.
Sure.
What I pray for is that every time I agree or I develop a project, I want it to mean something to myself where it takes on a double meaning, if you will. In my life, because every project is a journey. Every project, you forge new relationships, and I always, my hope is that I'm not just inspired creatively, but that I also serve a purpose with what I do. And if I can continue to do that, then I'm truly blessed.
Nice, great answer right there, Boris. And finally, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad.
Ooh, that's good. I would say courageous, kind, and funny.
Nice. Great three words right there. Boris, where can people where can people follow you on social media, sir? Why don't you shout out the places where people
Boris
can follow
Kojo. Everything's Boris Kojo.
All right, cool. And people, make sure you watch the show Station 19 on ABC and follow you know, him on social media. Check out what he's up to. Boris, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a very busy guy. I really appreciate your take on fatherhood, and I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Thank you so much, Art. Appreciate your time.
Cool.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.